Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, it's Adam, Jack, and Sam from Cultaholic, and Clash of Champions is almost upon us, where every match isn't a title match, but most of them are.
In fairness, all the titles are on the line.
Yeah. Are you excited?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah? No.
Nor am I. I won't lie.
I think there's potential for there to be some good matches. I just don't think the build's been particularly special.
Yeah, I agree. It just doesn't feel like that big a deal, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah. Well, when you mentioned to me about this video, I was like, already? Like, yeah. Clash of Champions is already? Like,
yeah, they're non-stop, that's for sure. So, if you haven't watched one of these before, it's a very, very simple premise. These are our 9 pitches for Clash of Champions. It's not what we think is going to happen. It's what we want to happen. Boom, we're starting with Sam. Sam, what's your first pitch, please?
So, I am the resident 205 Live NXT guy. So I'm
the god. That's what we call you in and around the office.
God.
We call you,
yeah, the god. Said the guy.
No. We call him the god of NXT and 205 Live.
We do.
That's great. how are you supposed to come back? We call you God. So my first pitch is to do with the Cruiserweight title match. Now, this was originally just supposed to be Humberto Carrillo against Drew Gulak. Lince Dorado didn't really like Humberto Carrillo. They had a bit of set to every now and then. And it was more like, he was annoyed that the rest of Lucha House Party saw Humberto as the future of Lucha, and he's been there since day one, and he's not had a single title shot.
Yeah, so rightfully so, Lindsay.
They sort of inserted him into this match if he could beat Humberto. So he beats Humberto, it's now a 3-way. But he was the guy to get the pin this week in the main event of 205 Live, which was like a 6-man tag, and he pinned Gulak, so he ain't winning. So,
Humberto or Lince?
Lince.
Lince, okay.
So Lince ain't winning. But I think Lince is going to get close, but Humberto's going to get closer. Gulak's eventually going to come out on top. And they fail to topple Gulak. And essentially, after the match, he's so enraged. It was his one chance and he's blew it. He takes out Humberto, just starts taking it to him, because they're really trying to build Humberto as this big blue chipper babyface. He's really exciting to watch. He seems really humble. He's just like sort of like an all-round nice guy.
He's got a great babyface look.
Yeah, his whole thing. I mean, he comes up with a cape now and stuff. Like, I think kids really like him. And yeah, it's just
everyone loves a cape.
Yeah.
Remember Kane when he had that cape? Kids love that.
Kane's cape was great. But yeah, so he beats him down after the match. And then Lucha House Party run down to sort of shake him off. And he comes to his senses for a second. And then he just nails Kalisto in the face, takes out Metalik as well. And Gulak and all of them are like slowly peeling out, and he just sort of walks off with them. Because the whole thing as well is Arya Daivari has sort of sided with Gulak and Nice now. And he was the one who's, over the last few weeks, been sort of getting in Lince's head and saying, you don't need Lucha House Party, you're better than these people. And just trying to poison him. And I think it'd be finally interesting to break up the Lucha House Party, get rid of it, it's done. It's get them some new music. We've been listening to Lucha, Lucha, Lucha for like 4 years now. I'm sick of it.
It's catchy, isn't it? Lucha.
Lucha. Yeah. It gives Humberto a huge feud, which will catapult them towards Gulak again.
With Humberto coming out on top as the big baby face.
Carrillo would have to go through Lince, then Nice, then Gulak. Well, Daivari first. But yeah.
There's no time. The show's stopping in about 3 weeks. Okay, I've got a couple of questions. I've got one big question, I think, here. And it's for both of you, because you're a big Lince fan. No. What makes Lince great and sort of worthy of a big heel run and a big heel turn? Why should he be split off and put on his own?
He's the most charismatic of the three.
Charisma.
Okay. Yeah.
Charisma, eh? Charisma. That charisma.
He's just brilliant, isn't he?
He's
no, I'm not going to say he's bad by any means. I think he's really good.
He's
in fact,
he's exciting to watch. He's funny. He is quick, and his promo work's always quite interesting.
Okay,
yeah,
interesting.
He's the best promo of the three.
Of the three by far.
Yeah,
certainly not Kalisto. I don't know much about
what
Grand
you're on about. Lucha
promo.
Things.
Yeah,
I think Grand Metalik's largely silent.
Yeah.
I don't know if he speaks English very much. I don't know.
He speaks Spanish usually when like they're all shouting things backstage at the end of their promos. You'll like start
great,
repeating stuff
they?
In Spanish.
Yeah. Lucha. Yeah. Okay, well, I really... you know what? I'm not going to pretend to know loads and loads about 205 Live.
Buzz, but though, going into NXT for the belt, so it doesn't just come in as a dead belt.
Yeah, I like that.
And as well with this, you've got Gulak. Just on top of this, Gulak promised to destroy 205 Live, and it's going away. You could tie all this into it.
What I love about this pitch is that you're doing a big sort of storyline-based, big character change on a grand stage, which might spark some people's interest
even
in those characters, even if they're moving
all.
Over. Yeah, but that's like, it's more important for sure than the weekly show. And they don't. It tends to be just a really good match on the pre-show, and that's it. You don't see much character development or storyline development. So this, I'm all for it.
It's a good way as well to take Kalisto and Metalik and throw them onto Raw or SmackDown rather than NXT, because I just don't think they would work in Full Sail.
I don't think they'll be on TV if they're on Raw though, Sam.
Yeah, I know. But maybe if SmackDown's leaning more toward a sport element, they might work there a bit better.
Fair, okay.
Yes from me as well.
Wonderful.
Anything that gives my boy Lindsay a bit of a push. But also,
imagine him in all those glittery black masks.
I know. But also just generally, I think he was once a heel member of the Brudershaft stable in Chikara.
Right.
Or was that Pinky Sanchez? One of the two. Maybe both of them were. Anyway, I like it. Not just because it's Lindsay. I think it's sound, it's logical, and helps elevate multiple members of the division within the same match. So yes, it's
lovely.
A yes from me too.
What a great start. Jack, you're up.
Mine is...
Dogs. Lots of dogs.
I'm going to...
Snorted there. Sorry. Enjoy.
I'm going to talk about Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch. Maybe one of the... Maybe the most hyped match of the show, I think. Considering Sasha's return and everything, but also Bayley and Charlotte. So I want the show to end up with Bayley holding the SmackDown belt still, maybe by DQ or count out or something. I don't know if she should be beating Charlotte clean. Maybe it has to be a lucky roll up or something. And Sasha beating Becky clean. I think she should out wrestle her and prove that Becky was right when she said, "You should be me. You're more talented. You should be the star of the division, but you're not." And then I want Sasha to beat her and prove that she is the more naturally gifted wrestler.
Nice.
At some point, I don't know if it should end the show, but at some point, Sasha and Bayley both have a title each. They go backstage, they're causing havoc, they're tearing the place up. Stephanie McMahon tries to step in, they clock Stephanie, and it's like, whoa, it's all gone a bit too far.
Oh, man, I was with you right until that last sentence.
I meant they're called Charlie Caruso.
I just don't think it works with Steph because people would relish seeing Steph beaten.
True,
it turns them babyface.
It depends on the situation. You could make it so that Steph's really hurt. Like, if it's Steph...
yes, come on!
Bring her fingers!
Like, I think, well, you can turn a face. I think it just takes a lot of effort.
They can't turn him face now. Like Bayley's just turned.
You could turn Steph face by having them attack.
I don't think Stephanie should show up again. I think it should just be. It should show that they've gone too far. Stephanie is backstage. She has to come out of wherever she's been and stop them, and it doesn't work.
Do you have a backup that isn't Steph and isn't Charlie Caruso?
Oh, JoJo, I don't know.
Okay, it needs to be someone big though.
Bruce Pritchard, there you go.
Roman.
Yeah, Bruce. I was gonna say Shane, but people would love them even more.
Yeah,
Vince. If they attacked Vince.
Old man Vince.
Like old man Vince would be good.
Old man Vince.
Hello, my darling. Like that, he comes down the thing.
No, because he'd step in. He'd step in and he'd
stop
pack it in. And
bang
then
with the belt.
They attacked him.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Flair.
That's low. Flair's good.
Yeah.
And it adds to the story.
Flair's
just messed up your pitch.
And they attack someone big backstage.
They attack one of the raisins.
Someone old and important, or if it's Steph, but it's not going to. I get that it would just make them more popular, but it wouldn't necessarily. You'd have to turn them face. This isn't the 80s. You wouldn't have to like. They could show up on Raw and call everyone dick still in the crowd.
Yeah, true.
But yeah,
I just think there's still an act of a baby face. That no, I really like it as well.
Oh, in front of her kids. Her kids are watching.
How old are her kids?
I don't know. They're
that tall.
I imagine them in like one of those triple strollers. Like they're all sat.
I just, yeah, I think
12-year-old, 8-year-old, 6-year-old.
If pushing you did it along. With flair, especially if it's sort of, there's a moment of like, all right, they stop and then they attack him. And it's like, then loads of people start jumping in, like security and everything, like pulling them away.
And then they, you know, they fly off on one of the wacky waving and flame along flailing.
Just trash them.
No, as long as it's them both doing something devious backstage and it's gone too far. And they but they can't.
They get cheat on up, up, down, down.
Well, yes, but they can't totally. They've got power because they're the champions now. So it's not like right, you're fired then, because they're like, well, we'll see you later. We've got your gold.
I love it. I'm not convinced on Stephanie, but everything else is enough for me to say absolutely yes to it.
Okay.
Yes to everything but Steph.
Okay.
So it's like a. You know, I've got like, 1 foot in, 1 foot's like halfway.
Okay.
There, but
so that's. Together, I've got one yes.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Okay. Cool.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I quite like the idea of Rick being laid out on the floor and then Becky comes in and she gets her kiss back.
No.
Rick's kissed her. It's been cut from the network. And she kisses it and that revives him. And then they all jump on his back and chase Sasha and Bayley on the inflatable tube.
Just turns into 1985 Ric Flair again.
Yes.
Yeah, he's back.
Right, enough of that.
Like the Terminator from Terminator 2. It all his clothes just sink into his skin and he just comes back out with his trunks.
Okay.
Arms there.
Mine.
Tully. J.J. Dillon. And Ole. Four or five horsemen. Well, there was five of them, wasn't there?
Yeah,
why do they call them the four? J.J. Dillon counts. He was as important as the rest of them. He probably wrestled more than Ole. Carry on, sorry.
Mongo McMichael waving in the background. Okay, mine is about a match that I think is going to be an amazing match. Before I get to this, I should mention that I've just realised that all three of my pictures, focus on post-match shenanigans.
Sorry.
But I think that's good, largely the case
two
for pay-per-view ones.
Two of mine do, and one of them's sort of toward the end of a match.
Okay. So this is about Cedric and AJ Styles. A match which could be absolutely phenomenal.
Yes.
For you.
Well, hey.
So, great back and forth match. I want to see Cedric get loads of offense and really take AJ to his limit. However, AJ is able to beat Cedric clean, but a very impressive showing for Cedric. During the match also, there's interference from the OC and Cedric is able to knock him off the apron, get rid of him, etc. After the match, it looks like the OC, the rest of the OC, Gallows and Anderson, are about to lay the boots in. They're going to beat him up because he's disrespected AJ by having a good match. I don't know. And AJ goes, no, guys, back off, back off. He picks him up, he shakes his hand, and then from somewhere, maybe his thong or something.
His prison pocket.
Yeah, his prison pocket. He reveals an OC t-shirt and he presents it to Cedric.
Oh.
And Cedric accepts. He puts the t-shirt
on. Oh, he accepts. I thought you were going to say
he joins the OC.
I thought you were going to say he looks at it quizzically and then we don't find out anymore until.
No, I quite like to join
here
just because it's a more exciting pitch for this video, I guess. Because Cedric, amazing, amazing wrestler. Not that much personality.
His character is he's a good wrestler.
Yeah, and I'm fed up of those. There's so many of those.
Occasionally dresses as a janitor.
Yeah, that's a great gimmick. That's got legs too.
Yeah.
But this is a sort of backup to that. No, I want to see him join. Nobody would be expecting it. I want the OC to grow. I don't just want it to be those three guys who are in Japan for a bit.
And
Finn's not going to join anytime soon. Let's get that out of our heads. Cedric.
Not till his hair grows back anyway.
Yeah. I'd like to see it.
Thoughts? I like it. One of the big things that I always hate about Cedric Alexander matches is that everybody goes like, oh my god, like these matches are insane. He was having matches like that every week on 205 Live. Like
everyone is.
Yeah, and it's sort of like just he's so good in the ring. But as you said, it's the charisma thing. I think like
it's not that he doesn't have charisma. It's just that he doesn't have a character. He has no personality.
Yeah, he's got like swagger about him and everything, but he doesn't have like a direction to take it in. He is that really just a good wrestler. And I think joining a stable of people who, you know, AJ Styles is a very strong character, but he is possibly the best wrestler, so it makes sense to sort of put them together. And as you said, nobody would see it coming. I've got a little bit of a weird thing about him just sort of in the ring going like, all right then, and putting it on.
Yeah,
but like
I get that.
If there's a way to do that where he's like, if he just keeps like getting up, like they keep knocking him down, he keeps getting up and he keeps getting up and he keeps like the Tommy Dreamer may have another
that's
type thing.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
And eventually he's on his feet and they just shake hands.
I like the idea of the dynamic that would be from Cedric, this amazing, pretty young wrestler, and AJ as the sort of the mentor. teaching him, and then eventually when Cedric beats
AJ. I was going to say, I've got an addendum.
Okay.
I think
just
that...
imagine him sat like the Emperor. Doesn't need a hood, it's just his hair.
I was going to say, like, maybe Cedric... like, AJ loses the US title, like, a month or two later to someone else, a babyface, and Cedric wins it. And then AJ's so jealous, and we get a bit evolution-y.
Nice.
And then eventually Cedric breaks free again. Because I think, in the end, he should be a babyface again. But not for a while.
Yeah.
Not for, that should stretch on for a few months, that. And then, by the end, he's even more powerful than he once was. It's there a yes from me, too.
I worry about Cedric in that I think if he just loses this match, then it'll just sort of slip back into the sort of not being on into TV thing. Yeah. Which would suck. But I think this would be
flaccid and boring, yeah.
Thoughts? So is that a yes or a no?
It's a yes from me.
Yeah, I'll give it a yes.
Thank you very much, Sam. You're up.
I'm up. Oh, well. So, this pitch is a bit of a wild ride.
Oh, yes.
Strap yourselves in, boys.
So,
that was good.
Throughout the Kofi Kingston Randy Orton match, there's going to be some shenanigans.
Okay.
And what this is going to mean is that in my pitch, like earlier in the night, what's going to happen is the New Day are going to lose the belts. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get the Revival out during the match to sort of try and interfere. The New Day are going to come down, but this, it's all still going to end very badly. The New Day are going to lose everything. Mm-hmm. Kofi is taken away because they were there when he won it, and they were in the ring with him when he won it, and now they're here when he's lost it, and then they go in the ring to sort of pick him up, and like he's despondent, and he can't even like look anywhere. He's just looking down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He's so sad.
Can't look anywhere.
And he's like, basically, Kofi's just ruined because he's lost the belt. And then they go to like pick him up and walk him, and he just brushes him off and walks away. And you can easily reverse this as just like, you know, like, oh, he was just upset. And you can go back to normal. Or you can just let the fans believe for a couple of seconds the New Day are about to implode.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's the perfect reaction for Kofi to give
just
as well.
Like, brushes them off and walks away, and they're stood there like, well, what's happening?
What does this mean?
And now they've got nothing.
On Tuesday. Yeah, it's great.
I'd say yes for me as well. I've not got much to add.
No, not me.
It was a good pitch. Solid. Yeah, really
wonderful.
Good.
Jack, you're
smashing it today, Sam. That's 2 for 2.
Against you, he's usually, nah. Nah,
no,
mate.
I'm not. That's not true. You make me out to be a bastard on these.
I'm going to delve back into the Cruiserweight division.
Delve?
Ooh, delve back
like
in.
Like an eel?
Yeah. Delve back into the depths of the Cruiserweight division.
I'm going to spelunk right into this.
I'm going to Fodsbury flop right onto the Cruiserweight division's canvas and go for this triple threat match again. I also agree that I think that Drew Gulak should win. But then I think that because of this whole route, like the rumors of the, or the theories, the two of is going to merge with NXT. Yeah. I think the best person out of the three to carry that belt in NXT is obviously Drew. He's the most charismatic.
He's worked NXT before. Yeah.
He's got history with Riddle and stuff like that. There's so many. I'm not saying that Riddle's going to challenge for the Cruiserweight belt. He's huge. But
yeah.
I think that he's an interesting guy to take into the the brand. And I think the way to do that is to have Drew Gulak win and then get on the mic and reveal that, in CM Punk sort of fashion, reveal that his 205 Live contract expired. And everyone's like, how can this be? How can this have happened? It's because Drake Maverick's too busy chasing after the 24/7 belt. He's left his admin duties.
They've been setting that up as well.
Oh, yeah, they right. With Mike and Ellis and stuff.
Absent, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that he's like made this huge error and everyone's like, oh, Drake. And then Drew goes, right, come out here now, please. He's actually in cahoots with this person. William Regal comes out, shakes his hand, signs him to NXT. Now 205 Live's champion's been taken away.
Oh, great. And that's just a nice organic way of getting the belt right over to the NXT brand without story it just being lines like, oh, it's over here now.
Yeah, tune in next week for and wacky races.
Maybe. And then depending on how long it takes for 205 Live for this to happen, I guess you could have a couple of weeks of like Drake sending Renegades to NXT to try and beat him and win the belt back for his brand, but he keeps beating them.
To try and transfer some of the audience from 205 Live over to NXT
as well. Oh, yeah, that as well. I didn't even think. Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
How does this end for Drake, out of interest?
Well, he gets sacked from his position, but I can't.
And then just ends up as a raw bloke chasing the 24/7 title.
I can't even think what it should be. But it should end with him getting, like, put through a table or something by a heel for his buffoonery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that.
I don't have much to add once again. I think it's great.
Guys, we're really good.
Yeah,
it ties in really well to the whole storyline, which I've been in love with for so long. They never pulled the trigger on. Was like they sort of gently did it with Mike Kanellis and Maria and all of this stuff with Maverick and like how they were like, you're an absentee general manager. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're embarrassing our brand by running around, you know, in your underwear and getting pinned in hotel rooms for a belt that doesn't matter. And like, you should be running this show. And he's just sort of, he always brushes it off. So whatever I do on my Monday nights is my own business. And like, but it's not just Mondays. It's taken over your life. And they had the match between both of them. But I think it'd be a crime not to have Maverick wrestle. It'd be a crime. He's so good.
Yeah, he's
good.
Great. I've been really frustrated since his WWE debut. In the first off, he was like, he's been the 205 Live GM, but also then he was managing the Authors of Pain.
Which made him wet himself.
Yeah, it was a completely different character on one show than it was. And I really, really dislike seeing that. So, I'd like to see him just be on a brand. Yeah. And especially if 205 Live's going, it's the perfect time to do that.
I just thought, like, it ties into your thing of Regal signs Gulak. Maybe everybody else has to impress Regal to get signed and the only man left Maverick and he's hired in a humiliating position.
He's Regal's Tajiri.
Basically,
yes. He's the new Tajiri, yeah.
Eventually, he will get his own back and either become a GM of NXT, which nobody would want.
No!
Nobody would want. Or
he could take over NXT if Regal was to step away from
it. Or he ends up, you know, wrestling on the roster. And actually being on the roster in NXT. And he could be NXT UK, but I think that, again, be a massive waste.
Regal and Drake Maverick against Johnny Satan, Sid Scala.
That's money.
Johnny and Regal Cha-ching. Never get in.
Yeah.
Keep jumping away for the tag.
They'd wrestle for an hour. If they got in there together, they'd have a bloody whale of a time.
You think that Johnny's going to
get five stars doing it as well.
You think Johnny's going to tie up Regal or something, and Regal just realises, no, you're old, you just fast.
It's a yes from me.
Yep, love it.
A yes. No, wait, it was my pitch. Yep, right, you're up now.
It's a yes from me.
3-0.
Okay, my next pitch regards the Raw Tag Team title match. Rudolph taking on Seth and Braun.
Did you come up with that?
No, everyone's been saying that on Twitter for weeks.
Oh, right, I thought, because Tom said it in the predictions video. And
no, I can't claim that. That's somebody on Twitter who had it stolen by somebody with more followers.
Yeah.
Wasn't me. So it's about that match. I think it's a pretty predictable match. I think Seth and Braun are going to fall out and the titles are going to end up.
I don't think it's predictable because what's the finish going to be? Who's going to take the fall? Who do you pin? Especially if they're wrestling later on for the big belt.
I think Seth gets pinned.
Yeah, right. Seth gets,
I think it makes more sense.
Like a roll up,
because then there's more tension for Braun because Seth's already been pinned, so Braun can surely do it. Especially if Seth's taking the pin.
Maybe
earlier.
Braun even attacks him to soften him up. Although I don't want to see Braun turn heel up. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So after the match, Robert Roode. Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler are in the ring. They're celebrating when all of a sudden, every tag team from Raw, all of the established tag teams who should have that belt, let's face it, they surround the ring, sort of Nexus style.
Ooh.
They get up on the apron, tag team there, tag team there, like eight tag teams, I guess, in total. I'm not going to name them, but all of the established tag teams that we know and love are surrounding Rock. Rhythm and Blues. They all get in the ring like they're going to attack. Fortunately for Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler, they are able to escape. And then there's a stare down from them at the top of the ramp with the belts and all of these established tag teams in the ring. Essentially, all I'm trying to do here is put the focus back on tag team wrestling, not thrown together to teams. And that would be the basis of a lot of the sort of promo work and storyline moving forward, in that you've got all these established tag teams who haven't fairly, like, they didn't manage to get the belts. Yeah. They want to take off these two nutters who have just been thrown together. That could lead to a tag team title tournament, perhaps AB Triple T2, maybe? but no, I know it's so soon after we have had a King of the Ring, but basically I'm just so fed up.
Who won the AP Triple T? Moss and Slater.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I'm so fed up of these tag team titles, especially very recently. They're just a prop for the Universal title picture. And that's it's rubbish. And it makes all of these great tag teams, so you've got some really good tag teams on the Raw brand, look like fools. And so that's the story going forward. I don't know if it's a tag team title tournament. I don't know if it's, somebody progresses.
So what, the winners of the tournament face the champions?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and just to get proper teams back on our TV having matches, and there's a reason for those matches happening. Yeah. It's pretty basic, but I've been very frustrated seeing the Raw Tag Team titles just used as a secondary prop as well in the Universal title picture.
I like it. I'd have them driven out through the crowd, make them look extra cowardly.
Sure.
Just sort of as they go to leave the ring, there's another team just halfway down the ramp, like walking toward them, and it's just like booming out. But I really like that. We need to eliminate this culture around these belts, I guess is the word. Like the culture around them at the minute is not good.
No. I'm gonna give it either a no or a tentative yes. Like the what where you just change one thing and then blah blah.
Okay.
So I just think like the. I agree with you. It's sad that the tag teams are based the tag team titles are basically being used as a prop in the Universal title picture at the minute. I do agree that's bad, but I think just for the rest of this week, it needs to stay that way because I think the focus at the end of this match has to be on Seth and Braun
totally right.
So I think do it the next night on Raw.
Yeah, no, you're totally right.
Have them
right.
come out and cut a promo and then do the same angle then. But otherwise, it's
yes. Yeah, no. Yep. Agreed.
Okay.
I was wrong.
No, you weren't. You were right. There. No, you
and
were.
I'm a fool, and you're the best, Jack. See you later, Cotner. Thanks for your half a point. Sam, you're up. Last one.
So, my final point concerns the Roman Reigns, Eric Rowan. Sorry.
Oh.
Rowan.
Oh, it's Eric Rowan again.
Is it Eric
it's Rowan Eric Rowan again,
oh.
yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, he's got his name back.
Jesus Christ.
Cheers, Vince.
So it's Roman Reigns, Eric Rowan. It's an ODQ match. And obviously, this is all stemming from the fact that Eric Rowan single-handedly tried to murder Roman Reigns with a bit of boxes.
and the car, which people seem to have forgotten about. Yeah. They only mention the scaffolding now. Sure.
The scaffolding's ridiculous.
Yeah. The whole thing's ridiculous. But
yeah, so
it's definitely Bischoff's.
At some point during the match, toward the end, they're going to basically fight up the ramp through the crowd, wherever. They're going to end up sort of by that, you know, that weird holding area that's on the floor underneath the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
So like either side of it.
Where Zack Ryder got pushed off into.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's going to brawl around there. There's going to be a load of mess happening. Rowan's going to go backstage. Or Roman. One of them's going to go backstage and emerge with a forklift.
Yes.
With Ooh, stuff on it. They are going to bury the opponent. So
literally.
Yeah, just there'll be a load of boxes and stuff on there and it gets dropped
many,
on them.
How many boxes can you put on a forklift?
It depends. Like, if you get a stack high enough, you could get, you know. Like, good.
Just
10,
imagine him.
10, 15
they all
feet.
Puddle around him, yeah. And he's just there with some boxes around him, like so Woody in Toy Story 2.
But you're like, either you can have Roman get buried completely, and it all seems to be done and lost, and all hope's gone until he Supermans his way out of it, and eventually wins the match for the big babyface moment. Or a Roman could just dump it onto Rowan and get his own back. And if that's not going to sway you, then the biggest box on top. When it falls and opens up, it's revealed to be Judy Bagwell.
Yes! There it is. She's on the forklift again. Her gimmick is involved with forklift trucks.
She pulls off a Rowan mask to reveal, like, she's been Rowan all along.
Yeah. Naturally, yeah.
Okay, just bullet point this for me really quickly. What are we getting out of the you want to see one of them drive a forklift.
There's a forklift spot. They're going to basically, somebody's going to get revenge. Either like Rowan goes and gets it, Roman eventually dumps it on Rowan.
And
Rowan
is that the end of the storyline?
No, I think you're still going to get more of the match out of it, and whatever happens, happens. But, you know,
I just feel like if Roman were to bury.
It's attempted murder for attempted murder. And then, yeah, if you don't like it, Judy Bagwell. You can't send out Judy Bagwell.
I can't.
She's a hot piece of ass.
Goodness gracious. She must be. She's 15 years older than we saw her, Sam. More than that. She was hot then.
What was the point of Judy Bagwell?
To birth Buff the Stuff Bagwell. Yeah, of course.
No, I just went in that storyline.
I can't really remember.
I don't know.
Wasn't Canyon holding her like hostage?
Oh, yeah. Who else but Canyon?
Who else but Canyon?
Was it Judy that phoned up Vince McMahon?
Yes.
What was the story there?
So when they first absorbed WCW, they sent a lot of them to the original Performance Center style place they had.
Yeah.
Or they had a factory or a warehouse with a load of rings set up. And they wanted to just give people a crash course in like the WWE style, the differences between the WCW style, so they get used to the rings, so they could do all this stuff. And everybody was there for the first day. And on the second day, bearing in mind this is literally just come down, get used to it, have a chat with some of our writers, like chat with everybody. There's going to be some talent there who can give you a bit of a heads up on the rings and the differences. People who have worked both styles.
Profiteroles.
Yeah. Like all that sort of stuff. And then everybody's there the first day. And then the second day, Buff Bagwell's mum phones in sick for him.
Big fan. Yeah, one last hurrah, because that's people's last memory of Judy Bagwell, I guess, is that story of her phoning in for her
Maybe
son
she wins
being
the match.
Ill.
We didn't reduce her to the whole Roman triangle story. It'd make it crazy.
I can't quite figure out what you're suggesting anyway. There's a forklift involved in some boxes, and maybe
the,
Judy
the
Bagwell.
Basis,
so I'd say
the
yes.
basis of my pitch is essentially there's going to be a forklift used in a spot because it's so ham-fisted they won't not do
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes.
Even if it's like a spot where it's used to like pin somebody down to actually physically pin them or something
like the empty
that.
Arena match.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a yes from me, and I'll add to it with my pitch because mine also concerns Rowan.
Don't try and steal his point. You can't piggyback on
concerns Judy Bagwell.
I shoot wrote my pitches first, actually. So it looks like Rowan's about to win. He's, I don't know, he's dealt with Judy, he's dealt
all
with the forklift
beep,
or whatever.
Beep.
Yeah. And then on
Dean Ambrose backing it in.
On another forklift or whatever, someone comes out. You're like, who is it? He screws Eric Rowan, or he like knocks. He helps Roman win, and it's fake Eric Rowan from a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Because what was the point of that? Otherwise, I don't understand why people aren't more outraged about that. Because I remember when it happened, everyone was like, "Oh, it's quite funny." No,
I didn't think it was funny. I just thought it was weird.
I just thought the whole basis of it was going to be like a scheme.
Well, actually,
so it was going to be like a harebrained, like, "Oh,
ever,
it was him."
But then nothing ever happened.
No, he's not even been referenced in promos since.
They just clearly turned up at the venue, and one of the security guards looked a bit like Rowan. They were like, let's get him involved in the storyline.
He should be reffing. He should be reffing.
Yeah, he should be the special guest ref.
Nice.
Yeah. But I think he should come out, and maybe then it leads to Rowan versus fake Rowan, that classic, you know, Undertaker storyline. Or Rowan versus fake Rowan versus Judy Bagwell, or just something like that. That's what I'm
Well, Judy will have made her big debut by this point.
What was weird about the whole thing is that even when it was revealed finally that it was definitely Eric Rowan, it was still just this grainy bollocks footage that could have been that old man that they had sat in the chair. The whole thing's a mess, isn't it? And it was so good. I love a whodunit.
Yeah,
they've really balled it.
There should have been more suspects.
Yep.
There should have been more intrigue. And instead, it got Buddy Murphy over, I guess.
Yeah, but he's not been on TV now for a couple of weeks.
Oh, he's once again the best kept secret.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to argue with this. I've got a semi-sensible one to finish things off.
We always do this the wrong way.
We'll figure that out next time. Okay, so Roman beats Rowan.
Oh, we're on this still.
Yeah, it's another one of these.
Lovely.
In a spot-filled match. I want to see like.
Oh, there's a lot. There's loads of spots now.
There's Roman will do that thing.
No, there's no Judy.
Steps up and
there's no Judy.
She's
in the crowd.
She's in the back now.
She's in the VIP box with Vince. All right, arm around.
She floated
him. Lovely.
Like she had a zip line.
Oh,
she just wanted
to say. So,
slow-mo running.
They have a match with some big, because they've already seen some big spots, right? They did the jib and the.
I can
see you smiling, just wanting to say Judy Bagwell things.
I just want
to
know where it's going to go.
They did the jib. They did the plant.
Yeah. And there's going to be more.
Was he a real fan? I saw a thing online that said he was a real fan.
A real fan got thrown.
Yeah, I know.
Who'd have thunk it? And then
it
as Roman beats him, because of course Roman beats him. And that's fine, because he's Roman Reigns, and he is actually more charismatic and a better wrestler, I guess, than Rowan.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. And then Roman celebrating on the top of the ramp. It's not a forklift, it's a regular car. Comes from behind.
Is the stuff.
It's not Buff, it's not Judy, it's not. It's none of it. It's no former ex WCW
George
guy.
Mears, because Ross isn't here. I thought Ross would suggest George Mears.
No, it's not George. It's a car. The first person comes. It's a car driving a car. It's amazing.
It's a little Tesla clown car on the front seat.
Jesus Christ. Out of the passenger side comes Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, was he responsible all along?
Right.
It's a different ginger that gets out the driver's side. It's Sheamus. What? Sheamus is back. Because I miss Sheamus.
Oh, right.
I really like Sheamus, and this will be his last hurrah.
He looks good.
He's,
looks great.
He's the gatekeeper to get to Bryan. That's the eventual one, but he gets another 3 months, a nice quick little feud with Roman Reigns.
Okay.
Get through Sheamus. Make Sheamus look nice. Because I really like him.
I quite miss Sheamus as well.
Yeah. And I don't know if he's still injured. I don't know how close to a return he is. Essentially, what I'm trying to do here is hit the reset button on this absolute nonsense. Let's just all actually forget about Rowan. Sorry, pal. Fake Rowan. Sorry, pal. Let's just reset it. It was Sheamus all along.
And Bryan.
Yeah, and with Bryan, which should have always been the case, and is probably where it will end up anyway. But let's just put Sheamus in there, because
I don't think it will. I think it's going to be Rowan.
You actually think this is it?
I think this is it. I think they're just getting rid of it. I think Rowan will beat him, and that'll be it.
This is like the fake Kane versus Kane. Never heard from again. See you later, Luke Gallows.
Yeah, okay. I think so. Anyway.
Sure. I think the story can still be good, but we need to hit reset on it.
I like it.
Cheers.
Well, it's the best of our three, so yes for me.
Yeah. I'd give it, like, I like it.
I'll give it 3 out of 4 but Judy Bagwells on a pole.
can you make it so that this is somehow the final match of the night? And just as the watermark's appearing, who jumps out the boot of the car? But Judy Bagwell.
Yeah.
There we go. There's the conclusion. There's the happy ending. That's a dark segment, though.
No,
that's the one condition.
You have to just see it, and then it goes off. So everybody's like, "Who got out of the boot of the car?"
It's another whodunit, and it ends up being Jesus
was
Christ.
That Judy? Yeah. Right.
There's a video for you guys. I hope you've enjoyed this. All the content coming up. What happened at Graded? WTF's coming. And loads of
reactions. Vote for the punishment on patreon.com/cultaholic.
Do you want one last Judy Bagwell fact?
Yeah, go on.
Buff Bagwell married a woman called Judy. So now he's his mum and wife are Judy Bagwell.
Sad existence for that man, isn't it?
He's buff.
See ya and the stuff. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for watching. Let us know what you think in the comments down below. You can follow us on Twitter @Cultaholic. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Cultaholic. If you enjoy what we do here at Cultaholic, you can pledge to us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Cultaholic. And most importantly, don't forget to hit subscribe and join us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.